Chapter 10. It was the size of one of those big oil storage tanks you see on the outskirts of the city. It was 10 times my height, 1,000,000 times my negligible weight. It hit the linoleum floor like a bomb. Smucker's Raspberry Preserves. The jar slammed into the ground 1 inch from me. Clash! The glass shattered. Huge globs of jam erupted. A glass shard swathed in goo landed like some kind of Nerf meteor beside me. The preserves, a wad twice my own size, hit me in the back as I scurried madly away. My feet scrabbled insanely. Out of control! The roach brain screaming, "Run! Run! Run, run, run!" in my head. The goo fouled my back legs. I couldn't move. I fought it, but that just made things worse. I lost my balance and rolled over onto my back, all 6 legs pushing frantically at the raspberry glue. Seeds like footballs jammed the chinks in my armor. From far, far up in the stratosphere, I heard my dad yell a word he's not supposed to use in front of the kids. Then, I guess he saw me, because he said a worse word. And I knew right then, he was going to kill me. The glass shard! It stuck like a boat prow from the goo. I caught the edge with 1 leg and pushed. Leverage. Something a roach wouldn't understand, but I did. A 2nd leg grabbed the glass. It would have sliced human flesh, but my hard twig legs weren't hurt. I pushed and scrabbled, shoved, twisted, fighting my way out of the red goo. Wham! The USS Nimitz landed on the floor 1 millimeter from me as I hauled with all my might. I was on all 6s again, but the goo was all over me, slowing me, dragging me as... Wham! The USS Eisenhower dropped 1 millimeter ahead of me.
Roach!
A booming voice bellowed.
Now I've got jam all over my shoes.
You're about to have Jake all over your shoes, I thought. I was getting clear of the jam, but it still clung to my spiky legs. I couldn't get traction. I couldn't get any speed.
Wham!
The Eisenhower again. The wall of shoe sole, twice my own height, appeared in front of me with horrifying suddenness. I powered my legs and lunged. I grabbed the sole. I pulled. I powered. I used all the energy that a combination of roach fear and human terror could provide. Up! I was on the shoe!
Where'd it go, the lousy...
I tried to get out of sight. I ran for the shadow of the pant cuff. He bellowed in a voice that vibrated every molecule of air in the room. Now came the dancing portion. My father hopped on 1 foot, the foot I was on, while attempting to crush me with the other foot. Not happening. Not now. I had my speed back now. I had the curves and swoops of polished leather, the same color as my own body, to race on. Running toward the heel, perpendicular to the ground, I hauled. The other shoe poked at me, kicked at me, missed. At the heel, I turned a sharp left and headed vertical. Up the shoe, over the top, onto a soft cotton sock, a sort of gray lawn of scruffy, weirdly twisted grass. I was in the dark now, invisible to my father.
Where'd you go?
He demanded. Freeze. Just freeze, Jake. Don't move. Don't... The preserves were very sweet. Very, very sweet. And my roach brain craved sweetness. Sugar. The ultimate lure. And it was still on me. On my legs. On my face. My mouth parts moved. I could eat the sugar sweetness off my own leg.
Oh!
My dad yelled. He'd felt me. I'd moved. Now I was in trouble. Woof! The dark fold of the sky dropped with sickening suddenness as my dad slapped his leg. Woof! Woof! Don't touch the skin, I ordered myself. If I touched the skin, he'd know for sure. He wouldn't stop then. Had to tough it out. Had to hide. Make him think he was wrong. That he hadn't felt me. The pants! The gray wool blend that made up the vertical sky. That was the trick. Woof! Down it came. I reached, grabbed, and suddenly was lifted away from the sock. I clung to the pants. The banging stopped. Slowly, the pant leg was drawn up, but I was in a fold, invisible. The pant leg dropped. My dad wiped out the preserves and the broken jar, and drove to work.
Chapter 11.
The drive was uneventful. I was glad. I couldn't really have taken much more excitement. Somewhere, far above the car, Tobias watched. I didn't care. I crept down and out and settled comfortably in the cuff. I was on the left leg, so there wasn't much movement. Axe was waiting at the parking garage by my dad's building. I could feel the car taking tight turns, going up the ramp.
I believe I see your father, Prince Jake. Are you with him?
Axe calls me his prince. It's an Andalite respect thing. Yeah, Axe. Barely.
You have completed 2 circuits of the open spiral and have ascended.
That took a couple of seconds. Oh, yeah, it's a ramp. The cars use it to get to higher levels.
Yes, Prince Jake. It was not overly difficult for me to deduce the purpose of the open spiral structure.
Axe sniffed. I'm Axe's prince. But I guess the whole respect thing only goes so far. We parked. I tensed. Things could get hairy again. The leg swung out into chillier air and brighter light. My dad stood up, stretched, pulled his medical bag out of the back seat, and we were off to the office. Swing forward, crunch, swing back. Swing forward, crunch, swing back.
Jake, I'm here,
Tobias reported in.
No sign that anyone followed you.
That was quick travel, I said.
Soon as I saw you guys leave, I headed here. And I was already more than half the way here.
Somewhere, above me, invisible to my roach senses, were a red-tailed hawk and, if X had followed the plan, a seagull.
There is a human watching Jake's father closely,
X reported.
He is a large human with more than the typical amount of facial fur. He appears to be forming facial expressions associated with anger.
A ticked-off bearded guy?
Tobias translated.
Can't see him. Must still be under the... Okay, I got him. Yeah, he does look ticked off about something. But he's not making any kind of move.
My dad stopped walking. Whoosh! A door opening. We moved. Closing behind us. We were in. As soon as my father stepped into his own office, I shot down his leg and hid under the garbage can near his desk. Waited. No frantic swiping disturbed the air currents. Good. Then he hadn't even known I'd hitched a ride. The floor trembled. Someone was walking toward my father's office.
Good morning, Doc. We have a full schedule today. It's ear infection central out there.
10 minutes later, the first kid came in with his mom. I spent the day zigging and zagging, zipping along the walls and squeezing into crevices to avoid being seen and squashed. Every 2 hours, I demorphed and remorphed in the bathroom. The first time, it was nerve-wracking. I scrawled a hasty note on a piece of paper towel and stuck it onto the last stall with some used gum. The note said, "Out of order." After that, I felt a little safer in the out-of-order stall. It was boring beyond belief. But it gave me a lot of time to think. Too much time. I'd started out hoping this crisis would give me a way to destroy Tom Zurich. Now I was down to hoping I could save my dad from Tom's fate. I was playing a defensive game. it's easier to attack. On the attack, you can pick the time and place. On the defense, all you can do is wait. Wait for the enemy to pick his time and his place. And wear out your resources and your people waiting. Waiting, knowing all it takes is for the enemy to get lucky, and all your tense, cramped up waiting will be for nothing. My dad's never been my doctor. I go to one of his partners. You know, it'd be creepy otherwise. I'd always thought it was pretty cool that he was a doctor, but I guess I hadn't really thought much about it. On this day, though, there wasn't much else to focus on, so I focused on my dad. Always nice, always gentle, joking with the kids and reassuring the moms and dads, staying calm while the littler kids screamed bloody murder and vibrated the very walls. He was a good guy, my dad. Not just because he was my dad, because he was a good person. Because he did his work as well as he knew how, and wasn't a jerk to the people around him. That doesn't make you a saint or anything, but I guess when I think about it, that's what I hope I'll do when I'm older. Treat my family right. Do my job well. Not be a jerk to the people I meet. Maybe that's not a huge, ambitious goal, but it would be enough for me. I've done the hero thing. You can have the hero thing. Me? I wanted a day when all I'd have to do was be a decent human being. It was a long day.
Good night, everyone,
my dad called, finally. I'll be back Wednesday at the latest. Have a good weekend, Jeannie. You too, Marianne. Stay out of trouble. Allah followed us out the door. Now we were moving. My father was heading out of the office, back into possible danger. Okay, guys, we're moving toward you. We'll be back at the parking deck in a couple of minutes, I called.
Hey, Jake?
Tobias said worriedly.
I don't know if this means anything, but the bearded guy is back, hanging around near the elevator.
Which floor? I asked, although I already knew. The one my father was parked on, of course. Tobias confirmed it. Axe confirmed it too. Hesitate at the door. Then we were outside. My antennae quivered at the change in the air. No time to demorph and remorph. If the bearded guy was part of an attack, I was useless. Nothing but a roach in a cuff. Axe?
Yes, Axe said. I am by your father's vehicle.
Is there any place you can morph without being seen? I asked.
I have been demorphing behind a large trash receptacle in the alley behind this structure. However, I cannot get back from there to my present position without being seen,
Axe replied.
Should I proceed?
I didn't know. If an analyst suddenly arrived on the scene to save my father, the Yerks would put two and two together, realize someone close to Tom, like his little brother, knew about his plan, and the Animorphs would be dead. But in our present morphs, we'd be helpless. What should I do? Lose everyone? Or just my father?
Chapter 12
Prince Jake, do you have any instructions for me?
Jake, make the call, man.
My family or my friends? Save one man or save the world? I was a bug. I couldn't save anyone. An overt rescue would save my dad and doom us all, including him. What's happening now? I asked.
Your father is walking toward his car,
Axe said.
The man with the facial fur is following him.
How close?
He's about 4 feet behind your dad,
Tobias said. He was tense.
And closing fast.
I scampered up and out of the cuff, onto the pant leg, around the back of the knee. The fabric crinkled with each step. I was horizontal with the ground on my right. I couldn't see far enough to be sure, but there seemed to be a large, dark wall moving in behind my father. Am I looking at him?
Yes,
Axe said. Okay, fine. I might be in a bug's body, but I still had a human brain. I hauled a left and went vertical, up the pants, onto the jacket, up the jacket, zooming at roach speed along a vertical plane of drywall fibers. I came to a stop on the slope of a shoulder. An ear the size of Nantucket loomed above me. Closer. The dark wall was coming closer. I could almost see a face. A blur. A bristling mass bigger than a rain cloud.
Jake, what are you doing?
Tobias asked sharply. I'm doing what a roach does best, I said.
What?
Grossing people out and making them say... I motored. I cranked open the roach's almost useless wings. I flew straight for that beard.
Ugh!
The man yelled. I landed on his lower lip. The tiny hairs on my legs caught and clung. He spit. A hurricane explosion of wind. But I was down on his chin hairs now, walking gingerly from split hair to split hair, like I was tiptoeing across treetops.
Ugh, a beetle!
The man shouted. We began to spin and whirl. He slapped his own face.
Get it off me!
I zigged left, then right, motored toward his ear. Little roach feet tickled waxy earskin. He went wild. I kept on going, on up to his head, onto thick, matted hair.
What the heck?
I heard my father say in astonishment.
Excuse me, sir, but are you all right?
Go! I wanted to tell him. Run, Dad! Run for your life!
On our way, Jake!
Tobias yelled.
No! I yelled. Back off! Back off!
Suddenly, the air rushed and shimmered with the swoosh of wings. Tobias swooped down, talons extended. I caught an indistinct but terrifying flash of ripping talons.
Ah! Ah!
The man yelled. He was literally beating at his face with one hand to kill me, and waving the other in the air to fight off the lunatic hawk and the insane seagull. Quite suddenly, I realized I was no longer on the man. I was on his hair, but I was not on the man anymore. The hair, the toupee, was in Tobias's talons, being carried off like a doomed mouse.
I'm going to circle back for...
Tobias began.
No, no!
I yelled, angry.
We might as well tattoo. The Animorphs were here, on the guy's head. Stay back. Don't attack unless you see the beard move to attack.
Oh, yeah.
This is not an attack,
Ak said.
Your father and the man with the facial fur are making mouth sounds. If this were a Yurk attack, they would not be making mouth sounds together.
Drop the rug, I instructed Tobias. He did. The toupee hit the concrete, and the man snatched it up and slapped it back on his head. I dropped out before he did, and with Tobias's help, headed in the direction of my dad.
The bird's gone, the roach is gone, you're okay, my father said soothingly.
Forget the stupid bug! Forget the stupid bird!
The man yelled. He was clearly upset. A hawk had seemingly attempted to grab a cockroach off his head, and ended up flying off with his toupee. That's the kind of thing that will put you in a bad mood.
Is that your car?
The bald man demanded.
Huh?
I said, is that your car?
The man roared. Like I said, upset.
Yes,
my father said, sounding puzzled.
Why?
Because it's parked in my spot. My spot. Mine. I've been waiting to see who keeps taking my spot.
How can this be your spot?
My father asked.
There aren't any spots marked reserved here.
I've been parking in this spot for 2 years and 4 months. It's my spot. I don't care how many birds or my toupee or bugs. It's mine.
I do not believe this man is a controller,
Ak said.
What was your first clue, Axeman?
Tobias said.
My first clue is the fact that this human is not...
It was a rhetorical question,
Tobias said.
Ah.
No attack. An argument over a parking space. Funny, really. Except that I was still left fighting the losing, defensive battle. Worse, I had frozen.
Tobias and Axe had asked for orders, and I had frozen. Because I had frozen, they'd made the wrong move. My fault, not theirs. I was in charge. They'd asked me what to do. I'd hesitated. I had no answer. No harm, this time. But if the attack had been real? I was tired. Axe and Tobias were tired. We were measurably diminished, and the enemy had lost nothing. The attack was still to come.
Hello, Phantomorphs, and thank you for listening to another episode of Audiomorphs, the Animorphs Auditory Experience. As always, this is your host, Daniel. Episode done. I did not remember that Jake's dad's a doctor. That's a pediatrician, actually, specifically. That's cool. Sweet gig. He lives a couple miles from where he works. Must be nice. Anyway, I got a message in from the Gmail, that's audiomorphscast@gmail.com, from Elizabeth, who says, "Hi, Daniel. I've been meaning to write in for so long and tell you how much I enjoy Audiomorphs and your voice work on it. Marco having a nasally voice is objectively correct, and anyone who doesn't like it is wrong. Tobias having a raspy voice is something I didn't know about him, but now can't imagine otherwise. Anyway, your podcast has been a joy in a kind of dark year for me, and I tell people about it all the time." I'm sorry the year's been dark for you, but I'm very grateful that you've been telling people about it. Thank you. It continues. "Right now, I'm just starting Megamorphs 3, and I was inspired to finally write in because you mentioned your boss being a jerk a few episodes ago. Maybe at the end of book 29? And then being unemployed a couple episodes later. And I went through the same thing with my job as I was listening. So Megamorphs 3 is about time travel, and when I'm listening, I'm hearing you from maybe 6 months in the past. So me sending you this... that... So me sending you this message is kind of like time travel too. So hi Daniel of the future. I hope you have a new job you like a lot now, or are really enjoying your free time. And then it's sort of like the... And then it's sort of time travel again, in that I won't hear this message for a while. If I'm making these episodes last..." Sorry, my intonation was all wrong on that sentence. Let me try that one more time. "And then it's sort of time travel again, in that I won't hear this message again, that I won't hear this message for a while if I'm making these episodes last. And so hopefully by the time I listen to this, I'll have a new job, and both of us will just have had this unemployment be a weird period we look back on and think about how it all worked out. Like this Megamorphs book, which I'm pretty sure isn't going to end with one of the Animorphs really dying. Time travel shenanigans all around. Anyway, I love the podcast, and love when you add your commentary on the books and how you think about the characters. Thanks, Elizabeth." Thank you so much for writing in, Elizabeth. I'm really sorry about your employment situation. As you might imagine, I can empathize. And you know what? Great news. This has actually been my first week back to work. I have secured a job. I've been kind of quiet about it, waiting for it to be official. Just, you know, to not jinx it. But I've got a new job. It's... without boring anyone with the details, it seems to be maybe a step up in a career path, and just between you and me, it pays a bit better. So yeah, I'm pretty happy with it. I haven't really gotten to do anything yet. It's all been trainings. I actually had a trouble with getting the work laptop set up, and so that's finally been cleared, and now I can finally do a job again, I guess. I'm employed. So I hope that when you hear this, you are also employed, and yeah, we can both look back and say, "What was that? That was weird." Best of luck, Elizabeth. Truly. Thank you for writing in. If you'd like to write in, you can do that through that Gmail. That's audiomorphscast@gmail.com. We also got a Tumblr. That's audiomorphscast.tumblr.com. And, I have a website that's theapocalypse.com. The apocalypse, like apocalypse, but with a D in the middle. And that website also has a bunch of other stuff that I no longer really think about. Something's on there. I made this a while ago. I haven't checked on it in a minute. But thank you all for listening. I don't think I have anything else to say. No, let me think. No. All right. Well, thank you all for listening. And I will see you all next week. My name is Daniel. I believe one day the Andalites will come. Until then, we fight.